Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With the 29th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Tyler Guyton, tackle, Oklahoma.
Okay, that is pick number one for round number one. What about the rest? Good morning, Metroplex. 8 o'clock hour. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Roberto Belt. Choppy's energy is carrying the show so far. Bobby, I don't know how you're not more dead. I'm miserable. I just took some headache medicine. All I can think about is what junk food I want to go home and sit back, crash, and then watch the rest of the draft while the Mavericks are on as well. This is the week from hell. This sucks. I should have my child. I should have asked Amanda to go into labor
this week?
3 days ago. Yeah. I would have been better.
This has been a difficult week.
Facing the West Coast teams.
Yes, this has been a very difficult
nightmare.
Sleep week.
You should have had her outside during the eclipse, induced labor.
That's right.
That's what you could have done.
But yeah. That paper clip just saved you, or killed you in this case.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, so now what? The Cowboys post-draft press conference, especially night one, always produces some gold.
Boy, they're on a heater this week. I will say this. They've given us some great press conferences this week, at the very least.
Yeah. The leaves, I mean, that's going to be close to All In. All In is the one seed of ridiculousness, which somehow is still on TV. Rob Dyrdek, my God, what's going on? Number one. But number two, the leaves. Waiting for the leaves to fall. But in past post-draft pressers, we've been shown the board, the big board. Jerry will take us inside the deals and the discussions. And last night, Cowboy fans were not too happy that Jerry Jones was apparently telling everyone who they want with their next selection.
In my 30 years, I thought it was the best interview that I've ever interviewed with a player. He's outstanding. And he's just outstanding. And he's a great football player. We got him high, high, high. And he's a good player.
I'm showing the board.
Well, I got it out of here.
Okay, that's amazing. I didn't tell you the name of the player because I wanted you to think he was talking about the one that they took.
Yeah.
That they already had him in the bag. It was already done. He's talking about Jonathan Brooks, who was not drafted last night. And Steven at the end, first you hear a reporter. Play the second half of that whole clip, please, Peyton. You hear a reporter start laughing in the back that Jerry's doing this, and then you hear Steven going, he's still on the board, man.
Great football player. We got him high, high, high. And he's a good player.
I'm showing the board.
Well, I got it out of here.
Did he say show him the board?
No, he's still on
he's
the board.
He's still on the board. Like, still, dude,
I thought he said
like,
show
Dad,
him.
No, Dad, like, you're talking. He's available.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's like, no, he's on the board. Why are we telling people we're high, high, high on him?
Yes, and he was the best interview we've ever had and blew us away.
Which, I mean.
Eagles are going to take him two spots ahead.
And then Micah will say, God, I wish I was in Philly.
Love it. I would love it if the Eagles overpay, like go back to 2015 prices on running backs and free agency for a hurt guy, and then draft another running back in the second round. I would love it if they did that. But let's be honest.
Let me take over here, okay? I don't want to hear any, and I'm not saying you were going to do this. I don't know what you were going to say. I don't want to hear any excuse making. This is what I say about my new home, okay? If I find an issue here and there that seems small, it makes me worry, what else is there that I'm not seeing yet? What am I going to deal with 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road? If y'all can't figure out the thermostats or the AC or the roof leaking in the first week, what the hell am I in for in the forever home? If Jerry Jones does something like this, which we have funny and kind of laugh at, what else is he doing that we don't see that contributes to this team not getting to an NFC Championship or a Super Bowl? You don't openly gush over a target that has not already been taken. You just don't. So while this can be like kind of like cutesy and da 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 and funny and yeah, that it's like, what else are you doing away from a microphone that hurts this organization? That's my analogy.
I get it.
Unless this is a tremendous, hey, look over here. We want you to think.
Sleight of hand.
Unless it's a total sleight of hand bluff and having fun with other teams. That's the only thing.
Yeah, it's not. They love him. but, I mean, that's the idea, right? Is that, like, how long have you guys know? Like you guys are not, drilling down on all the day two and day three players that are drafted. How long have you been aware of the name, the Cowboys would love to draft Jonathan Brooks on day two?
For 2 months.
I mean, he said the quiet part out loud, but it's a little bit like, yeah, everybody did know this. Like, everybody around the league knows you love him. Everybody knows you want to pick him. Schefter just said the other day, yeah, like, there's zero chance. If he's there at 56, that's who Dallas is taking. Yeah, like, there's no chance.
Go ahead.
I kind of wonder.
That's a problem.
I wonder if there's a chance, and this is where it may be most detrimental. I wonder if there's a chance of you acquired that extra pick, moved back, because you know you might be taking capital to have to move up from 56 to get Brooks.
Or the Cowboys are just banking on the fact that the league is so evolved that they know nobody's going to take a running back that high.
They're like, we know we're the only Stone Age.
I mean, John Schneider is still picking players for the Seahawks. That man loves a running back.
He does.
Mm. But to me, like, this is everybody does. Like, everyone knows you love Jonathan Brooks. And I'll say this. They have similarly projected. How far in advance were we all like, oh, yeah, pick 58? 58. They didn't even have a first-round pick. And we were successfully able to project in 2019. Yeah, at 58, they're going to take Tristan Hill. That's who everybody's like, that's who they like. That's who they're going to take. That's who they're in love with. Leighton Vander Esch, it's obviously like pick 18 or whatever it was them. It's not nearly the same. But generally, the only thing is that's stopped kind of in the McCarthy era. And I think, honestly, it's not because, oh, well Mike's put like a lockdown on information or anything else like that. I think what it is just, it definitely feels more in the scouts' hands and in Will McClay's department's hands of who they're going to pick. And so I think because they are so analytical about it and building their boards and talking about how they don't know what's going to go ahead of them, they don't get set in their minds the way a coach maybe goes, I fell in love with this guy. They're more willing to like let things play out. But this is one where everybody recognizes they have a need. Everybody recognizes that's the top running back on the board. And everyone, what Jerry just said there is what you hear from a lot of teams, is that Jonathan Brooks is like all world football character, like all world individual that you want in your locker room. And so I it's not a surprise that people are able to put two and two together, but yeah, you probably said the quiet part out loud. you talked about Fight Club. Everybody knew it existed, but you said,
all right, maybe better analogy than me. But no.
That's what I do.
Jerry and Steven, speaking about running backs, they were asked about the meeting with Zeke's agent.
We spent a lot of time with Zeke yesterday. Steven did.
Yeah.
And then we had a good visit with him at dinner last night.
We bumped in last night with the visit a little bit.
He visited and gave his opinion on the draft visit when we had our annual scouting meeting. He came in and joined us all and his agent, and we thoroughly browbeat him. But seriously, we did see a lot of Zeke yesterday, but it was a combination of being over at D's and our whole group over there, as well as Steven's personal.
Well, Zeke's, as we all know, is one of our favorites.
Yes.
I mean, he's laid it on the line for this franchise. He's the ultimate competitor. He's a guy that we obviously think a lot of. And It was good to run into him and Rocky. And, you know, we just had a little beer and moved on.
We don't have any issue. He's laid it on the line for the Dallas Cowboys, and the Dallas Cowboys have laid it on the line for Zeke. This is one that you can smile when you see each other.
What does that mean? Does that mean, like, you? Is he bitter over the payment still?
I think there was a lot of discussion this week earlier in the press conference about should they have paid Zeke. And so, and like, Jerry.
Does it cost us Tyron?
Jerry had called that kind of stuff out. So I wonder, like, I think that was just more an acknowledgement of, like, hey, this has been a topic. Here's a callback. Like, we clearly put it out there for him. But I will say this. I don't know. Maybe Romo. It's probably Romo's the only one that's in contention that post-Super Bowl era, there may not be a player that Jerry is more romantic about than Zeke. He does love the guy.
Really?
Like he thinks he is. Like, because, look, Zeke was pain in the ass early on here. Yeah. Like, off the field and everything else like that. But from day one, he is locker room, like big time in terms of there's character and then there's football character. His football character of like practice habits and leadership and wanting to hold guys accountable for their effort and everything else, he's near the top of that. I mean, how many times did we hear McCarthy when he got here go like, he's right up front. He's first, sitting right up front in the media and asking all the great questions, you know, or whatever else. Is that I think that they feel like they're lacking that. They feel like they're lacking in the area of guys who set a tone at practice and
leaders,
hold guys accountable. And yeah, honestly, if you're going to bring in Jonathan Brooks or whoever else, they probably look at it and say, it'd be nice to have Zeke here to teach whoever this guy is how to be a pro Monday through Sunday and how to handle being a player inside these walls of the Star. And I think that that's just as attractive to them as whatever type of player he is at this point.
877-881-1053 is the Franklin Franco injury attorney text line. Do we have a ton of Longhorns in love with Jonathan Brooks and Peyton, drive-by Longhorn fan? Would you be in love with him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, he injured back. I mean, but I mean, if you get past the ACL and the injuries, then he's one of the best.
You get past his knees, it doesn't matter.
It's perfect. I mean, he probably goes last night if he doesn't tear his ACL. And he's the only one who's even close. And I mean, even now, I think if they would have traded back again, right? Like when they were talking about 29, if they would have traded back again and then they lost Guyton, so they lost their four that they were talking about, then I think you were looking at they very well could have taken Brooks with the second trade.
I wonder, though, about last night if he would have gotten picked the way that draft was all positional value last night. Where was the position of non-value that was selected in the first round?
No linebacker, no D tackle, right?
No safety, no running back.
I mean, how much do you value? I guess you could argue how much teams.
That was Scott Kazmaier's ideal draft. PFF, who do we have on for PFF? With Dimitroff. What was his name?
Eric Eager.
I love that draft. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it was the only guys you could really say how much do teams value center, how much do teams value defensive tackle.
Sure.
But that was it.
The NBA with a horrific decision during the Laker game. Are you regretting those old tattoos? And Max Scherzer with a new idea to fix the umps. That's next on Sean, RJ, and Bobby, 105 through the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
2-0 pitch swung on, and there's a slice down the right field line. Adolis watching this one deep in the corner, and it is gone. Just barely fair. And once again, the Mariners have struck in the first inning. A two-run shot for France. His first of the year. He has six RBIs, and it's 2-0 Mariners.
Rangers lose the series. 500 on the season. A half game back of the Seattle Mariners. 5-5. That's exactly what they feel like. I feel like a 5-5 baseball team, like, over the past month.
Yes.
I said to Bassick last night at Pluckers, I'm like, they're boring, man. They are boring.
That's the thing. Like, to me, it's you can struggle, you can be really good, whatever else. Like, but the worst thing to be is just boring for a baseball team to be. Because if you're a boring baseball team, that's really hard to stay engaged 162 times. And it's like, man, even if, like, to me, it's almost easier to get through a 162 game schedule with an exciting team that's around 500 than like a really boring one that's maybe near first in the division. To me, that's better to root for, and you like the team better. But to actually like get enjoyment out of the grind of a baseball season, it's hard. So when you're 500, just completely average on the record and thoroughly boring to watch, man, it is tough.
There was the Mets team that went to the World Series and played the Royals. They couldn't hit. They went to the World Series. They won every game like 2-1. I'm with you, man. I love watching a good pitching matchup, but I hate watching bad offense.
Yeah.
And you in football, like, you could say, all right, was it good offense or good defense or bad offense, right? In baseball, you can really have really good pitching and really bad offense, and it be just that. You don't have to really wonder which one it is. I would much rather have an exciting team that frustrates the hell out of me, that wins 89 games or 84 games and scores 7 runs. And it's like, I need to pop a couple of heartburn meds at around 8:30 every night just to get through the last 6 innings or 4 innings.
Yeah, it's like the, what was the 08 Rangers team?
Great.
The 08 Rangers team, which was like, they were like 83 and 79, but it was like Milton Bradley, Ian Kinsler, Michael Young, Josh Hamilton. It was exciting to watch. They couldn't pitch. They weren't a great team necessarily, but it was an engaging team. You could go like, yeah, I can watch this in the middle of July on a Tuesday night. That's something that I want to spend my time doing.
Speaking of pitching, Max Scherzer with some ideas and thoughts on dealing with the bad umpire situation.
we need to rank the umpires. Let the electronic strike zone rank the umpires, and then we need to have a conversation about the bottom, you know, let's call it 10% or you know whatever you want to declare the bottom is, and talk about relegating those umpires to the minor leagues and getting in the best umpires in the game. You know, that would that way the umpires are going against themselves. It's still a human element of how we rank the umpires, that it's amongst themselves, and that, you know, policing kind of the bottom is the way to go. When I'm out there pitching, you know, if you told me I had the 10th best umpire or the 75th best umpire, you don't really notice too much between that, because, you know, they're really good at their jobs. The umpires are actually really good. It's really the bottom umpires that we all kind of have a problem with. And so if there was a mechanism in order to make the umpires on the bottom better, I think that would be a better way to address this.
Okay, so he was talking about, and he started this whole clip because they were in, he was in Round Rock, and they were using robot umps, right? At least that's how I interpreted what he was talking about. And he was like, it's kind of weird, man. I threw a slider. I was like, that's not a strike, but they called it one. The players do not want robot umps. Let's just get that out. The fans might. The players do not want a robot strike zone. It was a nightmare, Bobby, in the Atlantic League. It's a disaster. It doesn't jive with our sense of what a strike is. But I am totally down for what he is saying about relegation when it comes to umpires. Totally down with it. Take your bottom X and send them down to the minors, and then take your top 10% of the minor league umps that are the best and bring them up. And they should do that all the time. And there's no chance it happens, because that umpires union will not allow it to happen. That umpires union is as strong or stronger than the MLB players union. They will. There's a reason Angel Hernandez still has a job. There's a reason. Yeah. And it ain't because they like him, and it's not because Rob Manfred is soft, and it's not because the union won't allow you to fire him. They won't let it.
I mean, I love what he's saying here, because to me, it's, I hate the idea of going to robot umps as like that's the standard. That's how balls and strikes are called. But it still, I think, has a place in the game the way he's talking about. Like, okay, look, we'll still have human element. We'll still have humans call it, but this is your grading system. Not a union or anything else. This is an objective grading system from the robot strike zone or whatever else that'll tell us how accurate are you. And for those of you that are just bad at it so consistently, you're gone. You're done. You're out of here. We need to find as much quality as we can. So I like it. Now the interesting thing there is when he talks about being like we relegate the bottom 10% of the umps or whatever else. If the idea is to perfect the umpiring circuit, then I don't think you'd want to just permanently have it in place where the bottom 10 are like constantly getting relegated, because the bottom 10% today might look different in terms of accuracy than the bottom 10% after 3 years of doing this. So to me, it's got to be more like a threshold of accuracy. Like anybody operating under 96% is out, or anybody out at like that's more, I think, how it'd have to be, because then you're just potentially recycling out people who have become quality umpires through the process.
Pretty disgraceful decision or lack thereof, I think, from the NBA. While the Lakers blew another lead and lost their 11th straight to Denver to fall down 3-0, the Jokic brothers, I think, were allowed to be at the game last night after one of them punched a fan square in the face.
You going to tell him no?
Tell who?
You going to be the one to tell him no? You can't come in?
Right? It's like the people who kicked out like Ryan Garcia from the Mets game. Like, get out of here. You're not allowed because of what happened earlier in New York. But the NBA and Denver police are looking into the reported incident. Now, if that was a fan, if that was a regular fan, how long would that take to look into when we have video of him punching him square in the damn face?
Yeah, I think the only thing to look into is what was, you have to find out what was said, right? You have to find out what.
No, nothing. I don't have to find out anything that was said, because I can say what I want to you right now in your face on that fan cam. I can be in your face. Or like right here.
Yeah.
I can be right here and say whatever I want to you. And when you square off and hit me in the damn jaw, you're going to jail.
Yeah, I mean, that, again, what
like happened beforehand. You're a big fan of the law. You're a big fan of the law.
Like the
chop.
Alec Baldwin video. Did you see that in the coffee
shop?
I
did. I did. And he won't go to jail for that.
He can't. He won't?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he didn't go to jail for killing
somebody. He doesn't go to jail for a lot of stuff.
I mean, you know,
he found his IP. They were like,
"Keep
no,
your camera out of my face." You know, like that to me, that's an invasion of personal privacy too.
It's just hard to not make it look like the NBA is like doing
right
them a favor.
Yeah, like, you know, if he You know, if they, I don't know, is there something that you could say that's racial against Serbia? You know, like if they said something like that or xenophobic, whatever the hell it would be.
NBA would take that more into account than the police.
Correct. Yeah, the NBA would. Yeah. The police, they follow.
Yeah, there's no gray area.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, is that cause for, you know, knocking somebody out?
I
wish we could go back to a world where, you know, punching somebody wasn't just going to jail. The world would be a lot better place because then you got to watch what you say.
Maybe this is an ignorant statement I'm about to make here.
I've already made a million of them. So what the hell?
I would not anticipate that people in that Denver Nuggets crowd are up to date on the most offensive Serbian slurs. And so I don't think that they're like I don't think there's anything that a drunk fan at a Denver Nuggets game would be able to throw out there. I think there's a pretty well-established track record of like these guys are badasses and you don't want to mess with them. So it doesn't seem like it would take very much to draw them off sides, but I mean they're
now I haven't seen the pictures of them yet, but yesterday I just saw investigation. So that to me meant open. I'm searching on Twitter to see if they were at Game 3 in LA.
They were investigating Shohei, too. That went away pretty quick, didn't it? So
that was the feds.
Yeah.
That wasn't a joke of an MLB investigator. That was the federal government. They said he was innocent.
Croats are better.
Yeah, throw out your... Tony Kukoc, what? All right. Are you regretting the old tattoos?
That's a good question.
I've always wondered that. Dak has got the whole left side or one of the legs, and I'm like... What happened? Can someone start a page of 80-year-old tats, the old wrinkly skin? What happens to you when you're tatted up? I never see that.
So my grandfather had a few tattoos on his arm.
Whoa. What?
Yeah. He had a Popeye. He was in Pearl Harbor. He had like the palm tree, and he had Mickey Mouse. Now, by the time he got old, it was a blob. It was just a blob of black ink. You couldn't really see it. It was so old. It was so poorly done. And he said, like, he regretted him. It was just some stupid army thing or navy thing that he did when he was in the military. But now we have tattoo artists who are, you know, revealing the most common ink changes that they've been asked to make or cover up. So the number one, and this is going to be very near and dear to me because I've been watching this, are Harry Potter tattoos that people are being asked, that are asking to cover up.
Oh, I know. That's stupid. I know why.
Why?
That's fans that feel like they've been, I can no longer support J.K. Rowling, cover up this Harry Potter tattoo.
Oh, no, I think it's just they're getting older. Like they got the tattoo when they were 18, and now they're 40. Because they're talking about, they're covering up the Deathly Hallow symbol. I don't know what that is yet. I haven't gotten that far into the series, Sean. But they're covering up Harry Potter tattoos. That's one of them. A lot of people are covering up tattoos that have, like, obviously the barbed wire one. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Any kind of Disney character is getting covered up. The frog with the cowboy hat, that's another popular one that people are getting changed.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's that one.
Yeah, never seen that.
All right, yeah, so it's the frog with the cowboy hat. Kind of looks like one of those Budweiser frogs. Spooky cartoons. These are some of the ones that are the most regretted tattoos that people are getting asked to have cover up. But any Hogwarts one is the number one.
Would you ever get one? If you did, what would it be? Would it be like more of a bit? Or would it be like, oh, this means something to me, so I got to put it on?
It would be a bit.
Yeah, see, like my brother... He's got like 8 tattoos or whatever. And some of them are like, oh, okay, here's one for like my mom. He's got a tattoo for my mom across his like chest or whatever else. Then he has tattooed on his tricep, GSA. And I was like, what's that? And he's like, that's my Call of Duty clan with my friend.
Oh my God.
He was 18, he got this. And I was like, what does GSA stand for? And he said, Girl Scouts of America. What?
What?
And he's like, because then we can say you just got killed by Girl Scouts of America. It's like, you put that on your body,
wow,
you idiot?
That's amazing.
And then you have this woman who is curious if the tattoos are the reason that she's being denied a job.
So I wanted to come on here and talk about something that is really starting to annoy me. So I applied for a job at TJ Maxx a few weeks ago, and they denied my application. They couldn't even call me. They just sent me some automated email. So I went in today and I was like, so what was the reason I didn't get hired? And she was like, oh, like, you just, like, don't have enough experience. There was candidates that had, like, more experience than you. And, you know, I asked her if it was about my tattoos, obviously, because I know a lot of places don't like tattoos. She said that wasn't the reason. I don't feel like that's true, but whatever. I'll leave it at that.
So this woman has a devil tattoo with the horn just over her breast, her cleavage. Another one on her neck. She's got the septum pierced, but then she has the earrings that are like kind of just studs right in her cheek, yeah. Top bottom lip, tattoos on her head, and she's just wondering, like, oh, is this why I'm not getting a job at TJ Maxx?
I'll take a little sip.
It's exactly why you're not getting a job at TJ Maxx.
Taking a little ink.
This is a place for, like, Spencer's Gifts. Like, that's where you
get
a
job. Are we tattoo profiling?
That's a tattoo profile. Like, tattoos are great. Like, that's tattoo profile.
She's like, who's that tall guy who's like a punk and dated that really hot girl? They drink each other's blood.
Oh, Machine Gun Kelly? Yeah. Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
MGK.
Yeah. Who's his girl?
Megan Fox.
But Machine Gun Kelly, that's what she looks like right there.
She's got a little bit of that.
Tough not to tattoo profile sometimes.
It's sometimes when it's on the face, when it's that visible.
Yeah.
The devil horns on the forehead is a bit much to go through.
It is, but also where is this taking place? Do you know what part of the country this occurred in? Because I feel like while it is easy to tattoo profile, it very well could be that, like, yeah, we didn't want to hire you. Because this woman seems like somebody who wants to cause problems, you're profiling me, you're doing that, and so it's like, well, okay, you may have given off a vibe that I didn't want to hire either.
We know about Jonathan Brooks. You got the city and state.
I don't know. I'm just
make up a place, just throw one out.
Oregon.
All right, there you go.
Got very Oregon.
We know about Jonathan Brooks. Who else should we be wanting and looking out for the rest of this NFL draft? That's next on the Home of the Cowboys and Below the Belt, right here on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. By God, that's Brian Broaddus's music. Brian Broaddus is in the house, a special appearance. Join us here today for Below the Belt as we talk Dallas Cowboys draft. Cowboys last night trade down to pick 29, pick up an extra pick today. They will be picking at 56, 73, and 87. 3 picks today. They select Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle from Oklahoma, with pick 29. Everybody generally last night at the Pluckers okay at your locations with what the Cowboys did, or was there some anger?
They were okay when they traded down.
Well, some were angry they didn't get the center that all you guys wanted.
Barton, Graham Barton from Duke.
Yeah.
Which is, we know from last night's press conference, they had four players when they were trading down. They were at 24, they were going back to 29, and they said, we got four players we like, one of them will be there. They liked Graham Barton, the center from Duke. They liked Darius Robinson, the defensive lineman from Missouri, Jordan Morgan, the offensive lineman from Arizona, and then the guy they picked, the only one left of the group, Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle at Oklahoma, a guy who's played mainly right tackle but will be a left here.
Brian, how did you just feel about how everything went last night?
I think overall they went in with the idea of trying to recoup that fourth-round pick. And I know some of the things that we did on the draft show. We did a show just about moving back in the draft. And we didn't go to Detroit because it was a massive overpay. They didn't have the capital at the time. We didn't think that they would give up the 73rd pick in order to. Now, for you to get a premium position of a tackle and then also pick up a massive overpay from the Lions, I think that that was a well-executed trade back. The Graham Barton, I liked Guyton more than I had on my board or my stack. If you go on 105.3 The Fan, my stack has Guyton ahead of Barton. So I'm on board with it. I know there's a lot of talk about him and what he potentially can be or can't be. The center would have been a nice get. But to get 73 on the massive overpay, that is going to be a really good football player for you.
Aren't the people who are saying, why didn't you just take Barton, do you think they're just missing that, like, he could easily be a bust?
They all could be bust, Choppy.
Yeah, that's the whole point of this, though.
Every one of them. And this is the problem in a way. We talk about these players for 4 months. You know, we have draft shows. We have, and as we lead up on our shows, talk about them every day. And then the coverage we have here at the station is outstanding. And then what we do with DallasCowboys.com. And so people get locked in. People don't have access to Graham Barton. People don't have total access to Guyton. You know, so we're doing our best to study the players. They have their boards. They have their reasons why.
Yeah.
I mean, we've sold Powers Johnson the whole time. But then when you don't check all the boxes, all of a sudden, well, why are you not taking Powers Johnson here, Broadus? You talked about him for four damn months.
Yeah.
You know, that could be a little bit of a hard thing for people to deal with now.
Give us your scouting report of Guyton.
Yeah, this is a guy, I would think this is closer to a Flozell Adams type of a player. When you start to talk about the size of him, the ability to, I think there's some fluidity to his game. I like the way they use him in space. He looks very natural moving. The thing that he's going to have to work on, and we talked about the same thing with Tyler Smith, was his hands. And it's not a holding situation. It's sometimes hand placement makes a difference here in the National Football League. You know, Fashanu, guys like that, Olafanu, these guys that block and their hands are low, and then all of a sudden they have to reset. You have to get your hands on the defender before they have a chance to get to your shoulder. They get to your shoulder, you're beat. So to me, again, some hand stuff is going to have to be worked on, but I think the feet are light. I feel like that, though, the ability to play in space, the cutoffs, the reaches, all those things that you incorporate with run game stuff that the Cowboys really are going to need. And this guy's a massive guy. Again, Flozell Adams type of a body there, if Cowboy fans from back in the day remember that guy.
Should we pump the brakes on him starting immediately?
Bobby, I know, has been pretty adamant about that, you know, and I feel like, though, the one thing that we've been consistent on with this group, though, is plug-and-play linemen. You know, if they feel like, though, that this guy can be a plug-and-play player, I think you have to give them the absolute benefit of the doubt. I'm plug-and-playing the guy. You know, I get Bobby's concern about him.
On the left side?
Absolutely on the left side. You know, he's been a right tackle, made one start on the left side. But to me, this is the body type and the athletic ability is something I'm more than willing to work for.
He's been, and look, he's raw, but he's not even as raw to me as Tyler Smith was. Like Tyler Smith, I thought his tape at Tulsa looked more raw to me than Guyton's at Oklahoma. And so it's not outside the realm of possibility that he can perform that way. And again, it's not even as much my own reservations about him stepping in and playing, because I trust what kind of evaluations they make. I'm just talking about the history of this coaching staff specifically not to want to put a lot in the hands of young rookie offensive lineman unless they just absolutely have to.
Brian brought us in studio special Friday morning surprise. We have him for a couple more minutes. What else, Brian, besides Atlanta, will you remember from last night? What else jumped out to you, good or bad, from what the other teams did?
I think the fact that there were so many teams that pre-draft were talking about moving and we were thinking about chaos. When we go back and ask at the end of all this, I wonder if the price of going up for some of these teams was just too much. And there's some people that actually settled on their boards and said, you know what, we're just going to sit here and take this guy. I think the Bo Nix pick is a surprising one to me, but I can understand where Sean Payton is. He doesn't have a quarterback. Sean is one of those guys. I work with Sean. Sean's one of my best friends. He is one of those guys that feel like that he can develop a guy. And, it, you know, Bo Nix was not a great player at Auburn. Choppy's an SEC guy. He'll tell you that himself.
On the road.
Yeah, he is a terrible SEC player, but at the Pac-12, he did a great job. There were things he picked up. He got better with his accuracy. He got better with his vision of the field. And he had a lot of weapons to work with there at Oregon, and it showed up for the way he was playing.
Do you think they double dip today with that extra pick? Do they go offensive line again?
I think the offensive line is in play here. I don't know if it's going to even be a center or a guard.
You know, a name I think we need, we maybe haven't talked enough about during the process that I think we need to have an eye on for them today, Dominic Pooney.
Yeah, there's
what a name.
Yeah, there's
they had his brother here. Yeah, Derek. Derek was here a couple years ago.
From Kansas. He's a guard. See, there's some people that believe that this is probably Zach Martin's last year. So are you, you know, and everybody kind of felt like that TJ Bass was the natural replacement. They'll tell you that they feel like that TJ Bass at right guard is better than TJ Bass at left guard. I think the key thing, by the way, of drafting this tackle, it also keeps Tyler Smith at left guard, which might be his best position.
We know you have other things to do, man.
I do. I do. What are we looking at? Linebacker today? What else?
I think linebacker and running back. I mean, obviously, Jerry guard. Told everybody they want to pick Jonathan Brooks last night. So we know that. But linebacker, running back, and then
I wouldn't discount a wide receiver here too.
I know everybody else would. I would not be opposed to if they had value at safety today.
Yeah.
Again, I would take a safety. I know that there are a lot of people who get worked up by that, but to me, there's a lot of depth at corner. There could be some really good value at corner. There could be some really good value at receiver. I think the names you're looking at today, Jonathan Brooks is a big one. If they lose out on Brooks, that second round pick could very easily be, I think they have Peyton Wilson on their board. I think they're okay with him.
There's some teams that have him known as a red tag, and that would be a medical risk. Would be something you have to deal with.
Let me ask you a question. As a scout in the building, when Jerry talks about Jonathan Brooks like that, does that...
Jerry, I think there's some times where Jerry is actually being very deceptive in a way. Jerry will throw Chum out there and every single look at Jerry selling his board and stuff like, I think they like Jonathan Brooks. I also wonder he's thinking like, you know what? Let somebody go get Jonathan Brooks. We'll go somewhere else here.
Yeah.
We'll deflect to another area.
If they lose Jonathan Brooks, a couple other running back, because I think they are definitely coming out of today with a running back.
I like Lloyd. If they lose running back Lloyd, I think from USC would be an option. They like Davis a lot from Kentucky.
They like Ray Davis from Kentucky. He's big. One of the names that is very familiar, especially if Derek Holland's listening right now, I really do think they like Blake Corum.
I think a lot of teams like Blake Corum. I don't know if they like him in the second round.
Him and Deuce together on the same team, I mean, you put them on top of each other, and they're not even as tall as Luka.
Corum is a guy who we always talk about. Mike McCarthy goes to these pro days, and he kind of, you know, stands back, watches, takes it all in. McCarthy ran Corum through drills at Michigan. And so I know that that's a guy
Scotty
that...
Scotty earned his per diem there.
I think coaches in the building like. I think the personnel department likes him. Obviously, it's how much do you like him? Do you like him enough to take him in the second round, or do you like him more in the third? There's kind of a, where's the sweet spot to you for running back? Is it third round?
I think I've got a couple of guys in the second, but I think it's third, fourth round for sure. Yeah.
And you don't have a fourth round pick. So if you lose out on, you know, Jonathan Brooks, then that second round pick could very easily be Peyton Wilson, the linebacker, or sorry, Luke Kuechly.
That's my Luke Kuechly guy, yep.
Yeah, that's who he says he is.
Traits.
Edgerrin Cooper. If Edgerrin Cooper gets to them at 56 and they don't have Brooks, Cooper is a guy, the linebacker from A&M, that I think they would really like.
I think we're going to see a run on corners and linebackers tonight myself. I really do.
Brian brought us the godfather of the draft coverage here on 105.3 The Fan with the special surprise pop-in.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
You're appreciated.
What else do you think, Bob?
It's funny. I was looking at I was going through the draft, and I was trying to see, looking at what the rest of the NFC East did and looking at how things played out in front of it. This was a draft where, since COVID broke out, you've had a lot of like every year. I don't know what changed during COVID. I mean, I know a lot changed during COVID, but I don't know what specifically changed in the function of every year. Now it feels like we go into it going like, this is going to be the most unpredictable one yet. We don't know what anybody's doing. It's almost like there was no information sharing on the road in 2020.
Yeah.
So then they just all adjusted to that. And we're like, hey, let's not tip our hands here. But man, I think that Penix going from a guy where it's like, man, we don't even know if he could go in the first round, to all of a sudden a team that paid somebody $45 million taking him eighth, is like, that just goes to show you how little information is being shared right now.
It is. I mean, like, all these mock drafts, all these things that come out, it is a exercise in futility that these guys even do these things. They do them literally to justify paychecks.
Which is what makes the clear projecting to everybody that we are taking Jonathan Brooks in the second round today.
Yeah.
We'll tell everybody, have them chat about it in reports, and then I'll just say it myself in my press conference at night. That's what makes it so unique. It's like, man, information has gotten tighter.
Unless Broadus is right.
He's operated smoke screen, deception.
Maybe.
Yeah. I want some Pony today.
I bet you do. Yeah. No, it's interesting. There's a lot of receiver depth today. They could go the direction of running back. I think running back and linebacker, they absolutely come with away with at least two of their three picks.
Are the Atlanta Falcons all-time morons? That kicks off the final hour of the week. Sean, RJ, and Roberto, make sure you stick with us right here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.